Coaches, Adam Bradley here. Maybe you're not quite ready to jump all in on the Lead 'Em Up Coaches membership. You're still processing and figuring it out and talking to people. We get it. It happens. In fact, we want you to do that. Really make sure you know what it is you're jumping into, because we want you to go all in. Well, if you're processing that, here's a great place to start. Start with our Green Team Framework. It's a 7-part exercise series for a minimal cost that can allow you to introduce the framework, the 3 levels of accountability, the dynamics and nuance within our Green Team that can elevate your program. It's a great way to get started. Implement the Green Team Framework and then assess where your team is at. And if you like it, bet. Let's jump all in. If you don't like it, let us know why. We'll talk about it. But I promise you, it's going to be one of the best things you will ever do for your team.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up Podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Lead 'Em Up Podcast. I'm Kyle alongside with Adam. And today we are absolutely thrilled to have 2 special guests with us from the Lead 'Em Up community, Coach Brad Storm and Coach Ryan Winkler from Erie, Illinois. And today we're going to get into what they've built that is very special at Erie and kind of the dynamics and the background of that. And coaches, this is going to be something that I think you're going to be able to relate to, and more importantly, learn from. Brad and Ryan have a lot of knowledge, a lot of expertise, and what they've been able to build at Erie is something that I think we can all learn from. And please have your notebooks out, because I'm sure there's a wealth of information that they're going to be able to share with us all. Brad, Ryan, thank you guys for being here today. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. This is kind of a privilege and honor, you know, to be a part of this. Been kind of following Lead 'Em Up and being a part of it for a while. And like Ryan kind of mentioned before we got on here, we're very appreciative of you guys and what you've done to help us.
Yeah, absolutely. This opportunity just to talk about what you guys have started and just the difference that it's making, not only in our basketball team this year, but more importantly in our school community, which I think is even more powerful than anything that we've done when it comes to SEL wise up to this point. So we're so fortunate to be able to be with you guys today.
Yeah, appreciate that. If you guys don't mind, as we get started here, Brad, I'll let you go first. Would you mind sharing with everybody your role, what you're doing right now, and kind of your experience in education, where you're at in your career? And then Ryan, if you don't mind sharing after that.
Yeah, I'll definitely go first here. I'm near the end of my teaching career. I've got 1 year left. It'll be my 35th year in the classroom. And I'm loving it more than I ever have. Kind of the changes I've made, partially due to probably Lead 'Em Up, has kind of revigorated what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. And I've been at Erie for 28 years. I think 28 years. This is my 28th. But I coached at Erie. Then I went on to Geneseo, actually the hometown I live in. And this year, after not coaching at Geneseo after last year, I've been helping Ryan out. So we've been part of the same teaching staff community for quite a while. In fact, Ryan kind of full circle was an assistant for me back in the day. But we've been talking for a long time about leadership in our school and wanting to do something. And even though Ryan and I kind of went different routes finding Lead 'Em Up, we both knew of Lead 'Em Up and it worked out perfect. And the experience I had implementing it when I was at Geneseo just kind of fueled the fire for Ryan, I think, too. And we got it going at Geneseo or in Erie
for the whole school. I've been at Erie now for 21 years, like Brad said. When I graduated from Erie. When I graduated, Brad actually came in the next year. So I just missed him as a teacher, my basketball coach. But then when I came back over the summers, Brad had kind of heard about me a little bit and reached out and he's like, "Hey, do you want to help coach?" And that kind of got me fueled in that. And then after I graduated, after a couple of years at another school, I was able to come back to Erie and work with Brad. And It's been such a blessing to have Brad in my life, not only as a coach, but as a mentor. And once again, as he was going through and we're kind of going through similar situations in our basketball program, I'm a school counselor here at Erie now, kind of been a jack of all trades throughout the years, history teacher, PE teacher, health teacher at one point, and now school counselor. And we had an SEL program, which is great. Seven Mindsets is incredible. We love it. It's a great way to build relationships and connections with our kids. But as Brad and I were talking, we just felt like there was something missing when it comes to actually living it out. And we needed something that would kind of unite and bring our school community together, similar language, that type of connection that we wanted. And as Brad said, well, you know, Lead 'Em Up is something I did. And I said, I love that program. And so the more that we got talking, we felt that it would just be something that would benefit our school community. Went to our administration, we're very fortunate in Erie to have incredible supportive administration. They're like, if you think this is something that's going to improve, like, we're all on board. And that was kind of the first steps to where we're at right now.
Man, there's so many places we could go in this conversation here. And I'm going to just share a quick observation. Those listening aren't able to see this, but I want to give a shout out to Ryan. I said this when I first logged on today's call. Ryan's sitting there in his office and he's got the most inspirational wall behind him. It is a collage, a mural of sorts of just like inspirational quotes, different figureheads and all these. It's incredible, Ryan. I just want to give a shout out so people know what you're all about. You're all about business, Ryan, right? And inspiring people. I'm very impressed.
I appreciate that.
So that's unrelated to anything we're doing today. Yeah. But what I'm intrigued with based on what you guys just shared is, Brad, I want to kind of go to you. You know, what you just shared is so different than what you are accustomed to in the education space. You find a teacher that is, I mean, literally sniffing retirement right around the corner as you are. Right. Year 35, as you just mentioned, you know, I'll have conversations with people that are that close to retirement and I'll say, you excited? And they'll joke. They'll be like, no, not really. It's only 182 days away. You know, like doing that little side joke where like, no, I'm not super excited. But yes, I am counting down the days to get out of this place. Yeah. But Brad, you just said something that's very different. You said in the midst of your 35th year, right on the cusp of retirement, in the challenges that the school system is around the country, let's be honest, it's challenging, right? There's resignations and the culture is tough. The retention is tough. You're saying you're feeling a different experience right now. Share some insight into that, because I think there's coaches, teachers that are like, I want to feel a different experience right now.
Yeah, I think there's several things that probably go into it. One is that, you know, where I'm at Erie is a special place. You know, we talk about, you know, improving our culture and stuff, but it's pretty good to begin with. It's a great, great place to be, and it's why I never left, despite opportunities. You know, I could have taught at Geneseo where I was coaching and where I live, but and could have left different times, but, you know, I wanted to stay there. So one is just it's a great place to be, but beyond that, I think one of the big things is I get fired up about new things, you know, with my coaching, you know, where, hey, we're going to implement this. And man, I get into it and I love it. It just kind of brings fire. And with teaching, you know, we've implemented some new cooperative learning strategies that I think have been just phenomenal for me in teaching and feeling like I'm doing a better job. You know, the change in coaching from being a head coach at Geneseo to assisting Ryan has been a, you know, kind of a breath of fresh air. It's something new. He's, you know, kind of helped me or had me help with the offense a little bit and look at something that I was doing in a different way for them. And that's been it. So I just try to find new things or think new things to implement or new things that I'm excited about. And right now, the teaching's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the kids. I enjoy the relationship building even more than I have. Probably Lead 'Em Up has been a part of that. And this implementation of the curriculum to our school. So right now I'm just really having a lot of fun and feel like I'm doing a better job at it, which makes me want to go every day.
Sounds like you're not going to retire. Brad's in it for the long haul.
Well, for
a few more years.
Yeah, they're going to make me retire in another year. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I'm going to have to find something to do that's maybe similar.
Yeah, Ryan, from your perspective, what are some of the things that this has brought to life for you as you've been able to bring Lead 'Em Up more to the classroom space and throughout the building? I'd love for you to be able to share, what are some of the things that you've noticed go on in the building, some of the feedback you've received from students, staff, and just kind of what's taken place there?
Well, how we've had to implement it was a little bit unique because we wanted to implement it to the entire school, which was going to be difficult because we did it in the middle of the year. Well, not quite in the middle of the year, but partway through our first semester. And so Brad and I were really intentional about how we wanted to do this. So we met with each class during our advisory period at the end of the day, once a week, for about 30 minutes. And the thing that I loved as we first started implementing this and talking about it with our students is we didn't have a chance to talk with our teachers yet about what we were trying to do. And our teachers started within the first month of really saying, like, what is going on? like these kids are talking about being green, like they're helping the classroom more, like they're kind of holding each other accountable a little bit differently than in the past. And I don't want to make it sound like it's a utopia, because obviously, you know, we're a public school and it's not, but more teachers than not were coming to us and being like, we don't really understand what's going on. Like we need to have a meeting. And so they kind of talked to our administration. And so we had to go through, you know, with them and they're crucial partners, obviously, in what we're trying to do. It wasn't perfect on how we were able to roll it out. But that was the first thing that I noticed already, you know, the difference that our students were making in the classroom, just within our first, you know, month of meetings. And so basically what we did is, we met with each class, went through, you know, the beginning of Lead 'Em Up and what it meant to be green. And the thing I think, and Brad, I think can attest to this as well. The thing that's kind of changed in my thought process is when we create standards and it's not just like, oh, like you need to do this to be green. It's like, no, like here are the standards that we want to have in our school. Like, this is what we want our school to look like. And it wasn't driven by administration or teachers or adults. It was driven by students. And so we took time to really break that down, about two or three different sessions, had them think about what they want school culture to be. They came back with ideas. We put them down on paper. We voted on it. And so all of a sudden the students had this basically ownership of what they wanted their school to look like. And then what that did for us as teachers is we're able to go back to the teachers then and talk with them about what our standards should be as teachers to the students. And now we have an accountability circle where everyone can hold each other accountable. And it's not anymore where you do something wrong, we're angry and you're punishing you. It's, this is a standard that you said that you wanted to live by in our school and we're not doing it. And what can you do individually and what can we do collectively, you know, to hold each other to those standards? And that, I think for me, that was the most powerful thing that we were able to do school-wide, kind of to start this, you know, green team in motion for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Ryan, I would love to get your additional perspective on this. You know, I've said this many, many times, like what we teach and Lead 'Em Up is not necessarily revolutionary. Like, I'm not even going to try to paint the picture. It's not like we're the first group to ever like come up with standards. Are you kidding me? You know, I mean, everyone does. But what I do think is very advantageous and is a differentiator for us is how we teach it. And within the scope of the language we use, as it's a building process on kind of green and then green standards and then green awards and then lifeguards need to keep you out of the red because red is danger. And then we need our run from red speed, and you start building all encompassing around the language there. I would just love to hear from you. Like, why do you think, because, you know, there's a lot of other good programs out there. There really are. But it's something about the language and its ability to connect with young people and get them to like kind of internalize it and just understand it better. We've experienced, what has been your experience about them just leaning into it, grabbing a hold of the language and such, and just understanding it more clearly?
I agree. I think the green concept is something that's very important to start off with as the foundation. It's really simple and easy to think about being green. And we hear it all the time. Like, hey, you're not being green, or hey, let's be green. But for us, like, that's just like the surface level. Like, I love what you're talking about of all of these other things. Like you said, lifeguarding. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest thing for a kid to understand. Like, a lifeguard is there to save you. And it's not like once you're in trouble, try to save you. It's like to protect you so that you don't get in trouble. Like,
nailed it.
If a lifeguard is constantly pulling people out of the water, they're a really, really crappy lifeguard. Like, it's all the stuff before that that is so important. And so it's language like that. Obviously, we have so many athletes in our school, 40-yard dash. Like, that's what everybody does. Like, that's the fastest thing that everyone is we time our 40-yard dash for our athletes, and they're always comparing each other. So, like, when you say, you know, run from red, like you're in a 40-yard dash, it's an easy thing for them to understand. Like, yeah, like, I need to remove myself from a situation or a toxic environment or negativity, like, as fast as I can to make sure you stay on that same, you know, level that you want to get to. So, no, I agree completely. I think the terminology and being able to just relate those things to students has made a huge difference in our school community.
And I would add, I think some of it's fun. You know, I mean, some of the things are fun, and kids like to be kids. Adults like to be kids. And so some of these activities they grab onto and remember because of things like that. And even the followership, which could be a little bit maybe more conceptual. We had a couple really cool videos that were short that we showed each session, and it just kind of gave a visual of what, you know, how a follower becomes a leader and in their own way. And so I think it just really gives concrete visuals and concepts are made clear to them with the language and with all the activities that go with it.
And I'm happy you all added to it by incorporating some videos. We always celebrate and want to encourage that. You know, I think about Nathan Emmerich in Carterville, Illinois. He photoshopped the movie Toy Story. In the O of toy, he put the verification sticker, and he made his students kind of watch Toy Story and identify all the green, gray, and red moments like on the fly as they were going through, which just a fun kind of thing to do. I remember I was up in Canada, Ryan, to your point, running from red. The teacher there, shout out Rob Dinsdale, right? He actually brought the students. Now, this middle school, so you can kind of get away with it a little bit more in middle school than maybe the high school level. The coolness isn't as high, right, in the middle school level. But he brought them all into the gym and actually timed all the students in a 40-yard dash, right? Because not all of them engaged as athletes, but he timed them all as in their 40-yard dash on the day he taught that lesson. So everyone walked away with an actual reading 6.1 second, whatever it is, and said, that's your time. You get frustrated from missing a question on a test, right? 6 seconds, deal with it, get back in the green. And it was just a powerful thing. And the kids were getting it. You could just see they were understanding, and it was really cool. So I thought that was neat. And Ryan, you made me think of it just when some of the things you were sharing. Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Giving critical feedback is hard, but necessary. And as a leader, it's my duty to say, I believe you are capable of a bigger game. But the challenge that I find with young leaders in particular is that they're afraid to give critical feedback to their teammates. Typically, this is because they're friends, and there's fear that this is going to cause some kind of tension in the relationship. So at Chick-fil-A, we coach young leaders to use a very simple method called the 3 C's. Celebrate, champion, and challenge. First, we celebrate what the person does. This is the tangible skills that they bring to the table. Second, we champion who they are, highlighting their character or the values that they uphold. And then lastly, we challenge them, addressing an area of opportunity for them to develop. So the next time you need to give somebody hard feedback, try using the 3 C's. Now let's jump back to the episode.
You know, one of the things that really stands out to me, guys, and what you've built there. I was fortunate enough to be with you all in November and come up and work with your teams in person and kind of meet with the whole school at assembly. And Adam, what was awesome is, you and I didn't send anything to Brad or Ryan beforehand or anything like that, but I show up to the school, walk in, there's a big balloon archway, all green balloons leading into the gym that students are going to go into. Everyone on the staff and the admins wearing green. They got green shirts, green ties. Every hall you walk down in the school has a poster of the green standards that Ryan was talking about earlier. So the thing, guys, that I really want to celebrate you on and would love for you to just share like your mindset behind it is your intentionality with this, because, it's one of the things where we talk about it with our athletes all the time. And we say that, it's great on paper, but we've got to put it into our hearts and we've got to live it out. And you guys have done a tremendous job of being very intentional about making this something that people see all the time. It's very visible. And then it becomes this tangible feeling when you walk into the building for the first time. So share a little bit about that process. And did you guys sit down and plan this out and how you really developed this at the scale you have?
In terms of the visuals and stuff, I don't know that we really sat down and planned anything out.
You didn't make the arch balloons, Brad?
I will tell you, it was kind of shortly after we had the staff come up with their standards, and actually our secretaries in the office said, hey, we've got this arch and had other colors on it. Why don't we take them all off and put green balloons on when Kyle comes? So that's kind of the buy-in we were getting and the excitement we were getting throughout the whole school, the secretaries and in fact, even like our custodians, one of our green team, first green team members was one of our custodians that the kids had voted. So it was kind of being bought in by everybody. And the idea of putting stuff around the school goes back to my coaching days. I was always putting up signs to get kids to come to the games and know what was going on and stuff. So it's kind of just second nature for me to dive in and make all the, the different types of signs and put them up all around. And so that's just something that I've always done. But I think it's important to keep it in the forefront of everybody's minds. I know when we took the Christmas break, we had, 3 weeks off, and then we had a bunch of snow. And so we were hit and miss. I think we only had a few days of school at a time and coming back. And one of our teachers made the comment, boy, you can really tell we need to get back to lead them up because you can tell the kids change. It's going back. You slip backwards when you haven't had it for consistently. So we were anxious to get back to it. And so I think that's the reason why you want to kind of have those visuals around it. It's just always there. You can always see it. It's always in the back of your mind.
I think the intentional part is the most important thing. I know Brad and I, we sat down and we create a schedule because as we all know, there's so many things that get in the way. Hey, you're so well intentioned. Like this is going to happen today. And then school is in chaos or we had a terrible practice so having it on the schedule and being intentional about that is so important. So it is there and the kids know it. And honestly, the kids hold us accountable too. We have our green team members. Hey, we hadn't had a chance. Like Brad was saying, because of all the different things, we haven't had a chance to meet. Like, when are we going to meet? And it was like, well, we already have on the schedule. We're meeting next week. And so that was kind of the building, that we had. And so being intentional with that, I think is important. Also, just different other things that happened. So we had a couple girls when we first started this, they came to Coach Storm and myself, and they're like, we always have a moment of silence to start the day. We always do the pledge. They're like, can we do a green quote of the day? And we're like, what do you mean? Like we want to put a green quote of the day after the pledge. And we're like, awesome. Like, let's do it. And so every day these two girls come in and with help of Coach Storm, sometimes they do it by themselves. They have a green quote of the day. We have for our teachers, we have what we call a culture chain now based off of our green standards where, it's like the interception chain or whatever else on football. We got this big old huge gold chain that costs $5 off Amazon. And Coach Storm made this huge medallion that has our logo of the school and teachers are passing it from teacher to teacher based on what they're noticing. And so it keeps the teachers also accountable, intentional about what we're doing. So there's always just little things that we're finding that don't seem like they're that big of a deal that really work in our school community, which has been pretty cool.
Man, I love that. I just want to get clarity on that gold chain because I'm intrigued with it. So like when they are found doing, like when the teachers are found doing green things, like they get the chain. And then if there's another teacher that does something, they get the chain. Is that how that works?
Yeah. So Brad and I first started with the first person that we wanted to. And it actually was our football coach this year. It was the first time of him actually coaching football, had a lot of adversity, but he was so positive and just had a great culture. So, you know, we want to do something to recognize teachers. So we made a big deal of it when we were in our meeting with them talking about being green. And this is what we're going to do to recognize teachers. So we awarded him the culture chain first. And then it's on the teacher that is there to then find the next teacher to give it to. And so we're always constantly looking at each other, seeing teachers that are going above and beyond doing things. And so then that teacher will then put it. So like if Tyler would give it to me, I have it for a couple of weeks. I think about who I want to give it to and why. And then we do it through email. If we have an opportunity for all staff will be there. Now I'm going to give it to Brad because of this reason. And it's specific reasons why they have earned that chain. And it's been really cool. Like our staff has really, really enjoyed it.
That's fantastic. May steal some of that. I love that, man. That's so good. And honestly, like, I don't know if you saw my body language when Kyle was bringing up this question a moment ago about just your intentionality. I just kind of went like this because, and I'm so passionate about lead them up and impacting people. And I'm also, you know, understandably, I know what the program can do. And what I was thinking as Kyle was asking that question, I was split. On one side, I was loving everything he was sharing about you guys and all the intentionality you all are doing. But it also frustrates me on the flip side, because there's so many teachers, so many coaches out there that don't understand that. That like, you've got to bring it to life. You've got to care. You've got to be excited about it. You've got to get behind it with the energy and intentionality. And if you do, it will change everything. But frankly, there are still way too many coaches that are just dabbling, right? One foot in the water type experience. And then just like still frustrated, you know, that it's not as green in their school environment or not as green on their team or not a green enough with their student body. And it's like, you know, if there's one really strong reminder on what you all just said, ladies and gentlemen, listening, there is power when you go all in. And if you think you're going in too much, you're probably not. Keep going, right? There is power in that. And there is transformation in that. And there is impact in that. And I really am just hoping teachers and coaches hear you all the different creativity, the signs, the balloons, the excitement around it. When you do that, you get kids coming to you, hey, can we do a green quote of the day? You get kids asking, we doing lead them up tomorrow. Hey, when's our next lead them up session? Hey, when are we doing another verification? You want that in your school? Live like Brad and Ryan. Go above and beyond and bring it to life. Stop dabbling with it. You dabble with it, you will get dabbled results that you won't love. Here's what I always find so interesting. The grayest of people desperately want green results, and it doesn't work. Right? They want green results with gray work ethic. They want green results with a gray focus. They want green results with a gray intentionality. It doesn't work. Teachers, you have to be green. And listen, let's use Ryan and Brad as inspiration, right? About, you know what? There's levels to this game. And what I've just heard on this, these two guys out in Erie, Illinois, they're taking it to another level. Sorry, I just got a little passionate about that. But that's what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking about, man, shout out to you guys and for everyone listening, let's level up. And who wins if you do that? You win, the school wins, team wins, the kids win, everybody wins. Brad, were you going to add something?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, to be transparent here, that we had an advantage because I was a dabbler first. And I saw that that's not a very effective way to do it. You know, with my teams at Geneseo, we dabbled first. before we went all in with it there. And so there's probably been a couple of times I've told Ryan or mentioned or hinted to Ryan, hey, we got to be all in on this. We can't, you can't dabble because it doesn't work. And we see it even with the teams at the school. You know, Kyle was up and we hit, but until we get this thing really going, people still dabble. I think it's really common probably to dabble first, to get your, try to, you know, you put, get your toes in to see if it's going to work. And it's really hard to just jump in full fledged and to commit to it and to commit all that time and take away from other things to do it. But it works, you know, and when you do it, it the results are there. I would never dabble if you have the chance to not dabble in it. The G, what is it? The GLDP type methods that you had talked about before. Yeah. I remember it as GLOP because it really is just GLOP. So it looks like a GLOP, but it doesn't work.
And I think adding on to that with Brad, I think, you know, honestly, I think some of our coaches are dabbling right now. And I think after the season gets done, it's going to be an opportunity for Brad and I to say, hey, how did that work? Like, how was the feeling all year long? Like I said, right now, like honestly, at times, like we won 3 games and it's been hard and we're in a really, really tough basketball conference. We are the smallest school. We are starting 3 sophomores and a freshman. And if we did not have this, I guarantee you, we would not be coaching as effectively as what we need to, because we would be focused on the wrong things. We would not be building players up. They would not have the feeling that we have right now, that we legitimately have a chance to win this first round that we have, you know, coming up. And honestly, I think at times it's hard for us adults, especially coaches and teachers, to be vulnerable with our kids. There's been a couple times where Brad and I have sat in front of our kids, all of our school kids, when we're meeting with them, like, this is where we were not green this week. And this is what happened. Like being vulnerable. I had my 16-year-old son, who is a lot more mature than I am, hold me accountable. After a game one night, it was actually a game that we won, had a hit a half court shot at the buzzer to win.
Well, I saw that. That was incredible.
Our senior night. Yeah, yeah. It was cool. Yeah. But I got home and my son said, "Dad, we need to talk." And I'm like, "Great game, huh?" And he's like, "You lost it in the first half. Like, what was wrong with you? Like, you tell us all of these things, like play by play, like let the things you can't control go, like all this stuff." And he's like, "You were not coaching. You were yelling at the officials." And I'm like, "You're right.
It's a shot to the heart, Ryan."
It is. It's hard. It's hard when your 16-year-old kid like is taking these lessons in the most high pressured moment. And I forgot who I was and what I want to be at that time. And to have him remind me was one of the coolest moments that I've had in coaching, but also one of the most difficult moments that I've had, because it goes back to, I'm saying this, am I living it? And yeah, I do believe this and I do live this, but I also have to make sure that I'm vulnerable. So I had to write emails to the officials and apologize. They're all appreciative that I did that. I had to talk to our team, because if I would have got a technical, or our best player who hit the shot was this close to getting a technical, because the official that emailed me back said, if number 13 didn't step in and stop your kid, he would have got a technical. He would have never made that shot, and a memory that he would have had forever. And that number 13 kid was my son. So He stopped our senior point guard as a sophomore, and he held his dad accountable afterwards. So it's all of that together.
What is your son doing right now? We need to get him on the show, Ryan. Listen, I really appreciate you, but like, I'm actually more impressed with this young Winkler.
Mm-hmm. he's a great kid. He's one of our sophomore starters. And so there's a lot of bright hope for the future in terms of, you know, this type of green qualities for our team. That's for sure.
What's his name?
Keegan. But I also want to say this. Last year we had to have him come up as a freshman too, because we were not in a good spot. We're a regional title. Like, we shouldn't have been there. We won 2 games, upset. It was the last 30 seconds. He had the ball, threw the ball away. Lost the game. He didn't lose the game, but in his mind, like, he lost the game. And it could have crushed him, and it did for a little bit. But once again, I'm thankful for Lead 'Em Up. I'm thankful for Coach Storm. I'm thankful for PGC, because I was able to handle that situation a lot different than what I probably would have 10 or 15 years ago, that probably would have destroyed that learning experience, and that it was okay to just sit in that moment of utter just disappointment and just frustration. I'm super proud of him. I think he's done just an incredible job of helping lead this year.
That's fantastic. And Brad, you know, I want to ask you, you also said something earlier that got my attention. I think it's important for us to just kind of get your thinking there. When I asked earlier about you being towards the end of your career and you still enjoying the teaching process and what has allowed you, and you said a variety of different things, you know, Lead 'Em Up, you know, this new grading system. But you also just said, you know, you all have a good culture there. Mm-hmm. You know, like for all intents and purposes, you had a good culture. You talked about, you know, you could have gone other places. You had other offers over the years, you know. Free agency was big in your world, Brad. I get it, right? Yeah, people knocking on the door.
My agent was calling all the time, yeah.
All the time, signing bonuses, you name it, NIL deals, oh my gosh. But Brad, you said, you know, you stayed. But I want to ask you that, because why need Lead 'Em Up if it's already good? You know, I mean, if things are good, right? I get it. You need to Lead 'Em Up when things are damaged, when things are red, when we're struggling, where we're like a disaster and a toxic mess. But like, why bring Lead 'Em Up into a good thing? Because you know what? There's a lot of people that say, you know what? I got good kids. We're pretty good already. You know, we don't have any major issues already. What's your thought?
Well, it really is kind of that way. I mean, we're fortunate financially as a district. We've got a school that's beautiful, and there's under 200 kids now. I think it's down to it was about 300 or over 300 when I got there. We're down to under 200, but we add on to the school. You know, we build on new STEM, so a new STEM lab, new industrial tech center, all the high tech stuff. So I mean, we are fortunate that way, and I think our kids understand that a little bit. I don't know if they appreciate it like they should, but in fact, I know they don't. But we're fortunate there. But we also have then, you know, smaller class sizes and things like that where we can really get to know the kids. And while it's a great situation, there's always room for improvement. There's always situations where kids, you know, aren't living up to their potential. They don't see things with the right mindset to attack things or to approach things in a certain way, be it academically or socially or whatever. So there's always a need to help kids get what they could get to, or get to where they could get to. And I think this is something that we saw as a way to not only have us help them, but to build leaders in the school to help each other. And that's kind of where we were going with it.
Can I add something real quick? I think the reason why is we want to try to equip kids so that they're successful once they leave here. And this isn't a rip on anything or anybody, but our society, especially parents' expectations and what is accepted, not accepted, it's changing. And so a lot of the things that we are seeing, even though it is good, we want to help kids have an opportunity to see things in a different light than maybe what they've experienced growing up, whether it's just results-based praise or failure or whatever the case may be. Like, this is an opportunity for them to really start to take ownership. And I think that's what the beautiful thing about this program is. Like, as an individual, you have to take ownership. Like, we can talk about it collectively all we want, but teachers and coaches, they have to take ownership in doing this and living this out. The students have to take ownership. They have to take ownership in living this out. And it's so easy to sit back and always blame everybody else. And Brad can attest, our basketball season, there's been a lot of blame from a lot of different people, but I haven't seen it from our kids. The blame has been coming from the outside of the community, parents, some of the things that have been said and that have been emphasized, not our kids though. But I think that's intentional on what this program does, is the ownership. This is the individual ownership of, you can sit here and you can listen and sit back and take it all in and be model citizens in school, because honestly, that's what most people want. Teachers just want kids to sit in their desks and listen to what they say and not cause problems, and then they're a good kid. Like, what we're hoping that this is doing is it's helping them go from point A to point B. So once they graduate, they have an understanding of what it's like to actually live green. Like, that is an ownership piece that every one of us has. And either we do it or we don't. And I think that's what's so powerful.
Yeah. And if I could even build on that again, I think our, like Ryan had mentioned, our SEL program is really good at teaching the tools to handle things like that. But what I was looking for was a vehicle to live it out. And I kind of have used the analogy of the SELs being the fuel and the lead them up as the vehicle to do that. And so they're getting these tools in our SEL classes each week. But then the lead them up is kind of like, hey, this is how we can live it out. This is how we can show it. This is what we can do with those tools. And they seem to be really working and meshing well together.
Yep. I mean, no doubt. And everything you're sharing there too, it was really prevalent, not just in like athletes, but you know, one of the things that still stands out in my mind is being up there with you all. And we had the all school assembly where the students came in just the level of thought and the responses that students were giving that were unprompted, and they're just volunteering left and right. And you could tell the level of concern that they had, not only for themselves, but the school culture, but for their classmates and their peers in the way that they responded and celebrated each other. So again, you guys are really building something to where it extends beyond just the walls of the basketball court, beyond the walls of the classroom, to where Ryan, as you mentioned, this goes above to what we want to see in society. And you can see and feel that with what you're doing there in Erie. So, you know, guys, you guys have been an incredible champion for Lead 'Em Up, ambassadors. And for me, it's been a pleasure to sit here and connect with you again, but just to continue to see and hear the great things that you're doing on campus there, and that it's having a great effect on not only the students, but as you alluded to, the staff, because that carries over to the student success and the continuation of that. So really just want to celebrate you, give you the biggest nine clap for everything you're doing. And you guys are awesome. So, you know, Adam, I'll kind of turn it over to you as we close out here.
Yeah. I mean, gentlemen, just to echo that, you know, appreciate you guys. And, you know, I think one of the other things that's really impressive and important to note here, not just for you guys, but really for a lot of our coaches and users to Lead 'Em Up, I think it takes a really special person to invest in leadership development of young people, because you all oftentimes don't get to be the true beneficiaries of that investment. Sometimes it takes long. Sometimes it takes a while. We may see marginal increases and improvements from our students. We may see little glimpses and moments, and we see these little bits of development during the process. But really, when you think about leadership development, it's a long-term investment, right? There's a long-term gain. So you guys are investing significant time and all of that. And yes, you're seeing the fruits of that in the moment, but a lot of it will come later. A lot of it will come later. And it takes a special person, frankly, to spend their time in the moment investing in something that they may not necessarily see fully come to life. And I just want to celebrate you guys in that regard, because one, you're making the investment, and two, you're not only helping them in the moment, it's going to be long-term. And I can say that firsthand based on experience. I've had so many players over the years that even if they didn't fully get it in the moment, they came back years later and they're like, man, coach, may you be surprised. I know I was tough, but man, the things you shared, I still think about them, coach. I still think about them, and they're changing me. And I'm like, I love it, right? Although I'm not like benefiting per se in that moment directly, it's just like, this is the work we should be doing. This is the work we should be doing. And you guys are doing it. So I celebrate you all. Hey, appreciate you guys so much. We'll make sure to share all your handles, you know, with the episode so people can follow along. You know, I'm sure you guys are totally open if people want to reach out and kind of just pick your brain on things you guys are doing. So if anyone's interested in that, we're happy to make those connections and mm-hmm. introductions to both Brad and Ryan, both on the school side and the athletic side. Either way, you can look at it. They're working with both. But gentlemen, we appreciate you all so much. Keep up the great work. Keep building those green environments and students within your school. And until next time, on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Have fun and lead 'em up.